All right, Luke 18. We studied 15 yesterday. Let's read it again. They brought unto him also infants, that he would touch them. But when his disciples saw it, they rebuked them. But Jesus called unto him and said, Suffer little children to come unto me. Forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall no wise therein enter therein. He just had used in verse 15 the word for the little children was briefos, ones that are very young, still in the womb maybe. And now this little children is paedium. That means a recently born infant. And this whole thing about what it says here, I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child shall in no wise enter therein. This is a biggie. There's no way it can be emphasized enough. Matthew is even more specific. He said, except you be converted and become as this little child, you shall not enter into the kingdom of God. So this little child understanding, this one is paedon, just paedion. And it's different from blephos or briefos, in that briefos means both a child still in the womb and just right away infant. And here he uses the word paedon, which means infant again, but it's a different age group. Still infant, still before self-awareness. So let's look at a few of the little children with this word. Let's go to Matthew 2. We may have looked at this, but we'll do it again. Verse 13. the Magi had just visited. And then verse 12, it says, And being warned of God in a dream that they should not return to Herod, they departed unto their own country another way. And in verse 13, And when they were departed, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be there until I bring thee up.
You said Matthew 22, but you're...
No, I changed it. It said Matthew 2.
Well, I'm in Matthew 2.
Okay. Huh?
I heard you.
Matthew 2, verse 13. And when they were departed, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared to Jesus, Joseph, in a dream, saying, Arise, and take the young child and his mother, and flee into Egypt, and be thou there until I bring thee word. For Herod will seek the young child to destroy him. And when he arose, he took the young child and his mother by night, and departed into Egypt, and was there until the death of Herod. Again, recently born, normally meaning under two. Now in Matthew 18. Verse 1, And the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child, paedon, unto him, and set him in the midst of them. and said, "Verily I say unto you, except you be converted and become as little children, paidon, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whoso shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me." So this is a big deal. And each of those places in 3, 4, and 5 is paidon. 2, 3, 4, and 5. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 14. This is the instructions about how the Seder is conducted. Let's do that. Starting verse 12. Even so, for as much as you are zealous of the spiritual gifts, seek that you may be that you may excel to the edifying of the church. Wherefore, let him that speaketh in an unknown tongue pray that he may interpret. For if I pray in an unknown tongue, my spirit prayeth, but my understanding is unfruitful. What is it then? I will pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit, and I will sing with the understanding also. Else when thou shalt bless with the spirit, how shall he that occupieth the room of an unlearned say amen at the giving of thanks, seeing he understandeth not what thou sayest? For thou verily givest thanks well, but the other is not edified. I thank my God I speak with tongues more than you all. Yet in the church I had rather speak 5 words with my understanding than by my voice I might teach others also than 10,000 words in an unknown tongue. Brethren, be not children, paidon, in understanding. Albeit in malice be ye children, but in understanding be men or be adults. And the law is written, when the men of other tongues, and with men of other tongues and other lips will I speak unto this people. And yet for all that will they not hear me, saith the Lord. Now, be not children in understanding, albeit in malice be you children, but understanding be you men. Now this refers to these 4 positions of little children, darling infant, but still in the world. The teenagers, but yet they've known God. The young men, young adults, they're in the promised land, but not yet in the temple. And then the fathers are on the mercy seat. And so be always as a child in malice with regard to malice, but be with understanding, be as this one that's sitting on the mercy seat. Does that communicate?
I can see it through a position of having forgiven everyone. If you've forgiven, there's kind of an instance about you because you're not holding grudges, you're not tied with flesh, you forgive it, you're kind of innocent. And that's like being a man.
don't have agendas.
Agendas, all that, so forgiveness.
But it also means, I believe, it still has to do with the mind. That you... We're back to this one. It's, if any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. That's positional. That's on the mercy seat, under the wings of the cherubim. That's what oracle means. But again, except you be converted and become as that little child, you shall no wise enter the kingdom of God. You essentially lose all the value systems that you have as an adult. All the things you've learned as proper behavior, all the things you've learned as blah, blah, blah. And you're always in that state of, but that's the way sanctification takes place. That's the way the renewing of your mind happens. And it always happens by repentance. Repentance is what releases the power of God. That your mind would be transformed. You would be transfigured by the renewing of your mind. That you are not any way conformed any longer to this world. Amen?
How does that line up with your brother's pray and speak, or not? Pray with understanding. I'd rather speak one word with understanding.
Well, understanding is positional. It's from the mercy seat. That's what the whole meaning of from the mercy seat means. If any man speak, let him speak as the oracle of God. It's not the understanding of your mind. It's the understanding of position. Location of sphere is everything. And this is talking about the location of sphere being on the mercy seat. And you don't. You're never scheming. You're never planning. You're never giving any breath to what appears to be happening with the senses, because you're seeing through everything to see the mystery of God. But the only way that you can become as that little child, that you can be transformed by the renewing of your mind, is that you don't give, you find out for sure, and you have to know it, each end of us individually, for sure, that there is nothing that I can benefit or do with regard to the will of God using my mind. That's the goal. That's what the renewing of your mind means. That's what. But you can't do that as long as you think using your mind is useful. So you have to heed the Holy. I'm sorry, but the Holy Spirit becomes your enemy until you see that every use of this evil one is fruitless, empty, without purpose. That's the whole meaning of sanctification. And so it doesn't happen instantly for most people. But you have to be aware that it's going on, otherwise you'll never repent from using your mind. You have to use your mind to find out that it's not any good. It has no purpose. But as long as you think it has a purpose and it's useful for you, then you'll continue to use it. But you're, in doing so, you're still being conformed to the world. We've had this discussion 50 million times, but it doesn't change. I'm probably not, I should not, I promised myself I'd stop exaggerating, but maybe instead of 50 million, maybe 49 million, but. All right, back to Luke.
That word for child in verse 20 was?
It's paidon. Paidon. All right, then in verse 17, verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as little child shall not wise enter therein. Again, that's Pidon. Then in verse 18, and a certain ruler asked him, saying, good master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And Jesus said unto him, why callest thou me good? None is good save one, and that is God. Thou knowest the commandments. Do not commit adultery. Do not kill. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Honor thy father and thy mother. And he said, the ruler said, all these have I kept from my youth. Now when Jesus heard these things, he said unto him, yet lackest thou one thing. Sell all that thou hast, and distribute unto the poor, and thou shalt have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me. And when he heard this, he was very sorrowful, for he was very rich. And when Jesus saw that he was very sorrowful, he said, how hardly or how difficult shall they that have riches enter into the kingdom of God? For it is easier for a camel to go through an eye of a needle, or through a needle's eye, than for a rich man to enter into the kingdom of God. And they that heard it said, who then can be saved? Believe it or not, most of the people that we have in this community would be considered rich. The exception would be me and Pete and probably John Bojo. Maybe Jeff.
Who's left?
Well, I wasn't talking about in the room, I said in the community. I said most of the people in the community would be rich, except as we call them here, the ones that are laboring for the ministry. What would you do if Jesus confronted you and said, sell all you have and come follow me? These sayings, you gotta come to some place with them. These are some of the hardest sayings in the universe. I just read this gal that's taking notes of the Believers Conference, and I read what all the notes she'd taken on watching Creflo Dollar and Jerry Savelle. It's like they've taken like three or four scriptures throughout the Bible, mistranslated them, and said, God wants me to be rich. And then he starts saying, that he has a faith ministry. Well, if you have a faith ministry, stop asking people for money. Anyhow, that's another story. All right, this ruler, it's Archon. A-R-C-H-O-N. It means a prince or a chief. Sometimes Jesus is called that. And it means he's probably a member of the Sanhedrin. And the guys that were like that were like, they're always like, what's his name? And who came to him by night? Losing it here. Nicodemus.
Nicodemus is the one that came to life.
That's why I just said. All right, let's look at this rule, a few of them. Let's go to Matthew 9. I want to see if we get it in our heads what it means. Verse 18. While he spake these things unto them, behold, there came a certain ruler and worshipped him, saying, My daughter is even now dead, but come and lay thy hand on her, and she shall live. And Jesus followed him, and so did his disciples.
Jesus arose.
And Jesus arose and followed him. Well, that goes on and on about another one, but in the terms of, you've got to see what this would do to, there's another scripture in John that says, many of the priests believed on him, but they would not do so publicly because of the Pharisees. And so, there were a lot of people that recognized and saw him as Messiah, at least for a time, but were afraid to because of their position. Now it's socially acceptable to follow him in the way that the world follows him. So it's not, there's no such. But if you started preaching everybody to sell all you have and come follow him, that would be another story. It wouldn't be as popular. All right, let's see, we just talked about John 3, Nicodemus. So let's go to John 12. Verse 42. Well, it's time 40. He hath blinded their eyes and hardened their hearts. This is a quote from Isaiah. That they should not see him with their eyes, nor understand him with their heart, and be converted, and it should heal them. These things saith Isaiah when he saw his glory and spake of him. Nevertheless, among the chief rulers also many believed on him, but because of the Pharisees, they did not confess him, lest they should be put out of the synagogue. For they love the praise of men more than the praise of God. All right, Ephesians 2. We're studying the word ruler. In case you have forgotten. This is where Satan is called the same. And you hath he quickened who were dead in trespasses and sins, where in time past you walked according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And that's prince is the word archon. The spirit that now worketh in the children of disobedience, among whom also we all had our manner of life in times past, and the lusts of our flesh, fulfilling the desires of the flesh and of the mind, even were by nature the children of wrath, even as others. And that's all of us, without exception. We walked according to the prince, according to the course of this world, according to the prince of the power of the air. And how do we walk according to that? Because we still pay attention to that which is cursed. All right.
So the word archon is the word for ruler.
A-R-C-H-O-N is the word for prince.
And ruler.
And ruler. And chief. All right, 1 Corinthians 2. Verse 3, it's Paul is talking about himself. He said, I was with you in weakness and in fear and in much trembling, and my speech and my preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power or of efficacy, that your faith should not stand in the wisdom of men, but in the power of God. Albeit we speak wisdom among them that are perfect, yet not the wisdom of this world, nor of the princes of the world that came to naught. We speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, even the hidden wisdom, which God ordained before the world unto glory, which none of the princes, or again, every time princes is used, it's the word archon, where none of the rulers of this world knew, for had they known it, they would not have crucified the Lord in glory. All right, one more, Revelation 1. This is where it's applied to Christ. It's verse 4. Well, let's start verse 1 real quick. The revelation of Jesus Christ, which God gave unto him to show unto his servants things which must shortly come to pass. And he sent and signified it by his angel unto his servant John, who bare record of the word of God out of and of the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. Blessed is he that readeth, and they that hear the words of this prophecy, and keep those things which are written therein, for the time is at hand. John, to the seven churches which are in Asia, grace be unto you and peace from him which is, and which was, and which is to come, and from the seven spirits which are before his throne, and from Jesus Christ, who is the faithful witness, the first begotten of the dead, and the prince of the kings of the earth. And that's archon, the prince, though it should be ruler. Unto him that loved us and washed us from our sins in his own blood. So, that's a few of the various words that prince or ruler or chief. So any comments, any thoughts, any brickbats? I'm going to quit saying brickbats. All right, take a big time.